Today on Real Radio.
And the Bible says that I'm a new creation in Christ. So Lord, I'm asking you now to grant me victory in Jesus' name, and you will have victory. God is bound by His word to answer you. The reason why you and I lose is because we don't know how to fight. It's not His fault. It's our fault. Know the word. There's no substitute.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're taking a look at the first part of chapter 4, where Messiah was tempted directly by Satan himself. In fact, this is a mini-series taken from this passage called Temptation, What Are We to Do? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
When Satan speaks, now I frankly confess, I have never encountered Satan. Well, he sends his little privates and lieutenants to me. They're called demons. By the way, have you ever read the book by C.S. Lewis, The Screwtape Letters? You haven't? Oh, church, it's awesome. C.S. Lewis, you know, the Chronicles of Narnia is coming out. C.S. Lewis wrote a book, The Screwtape Letters. Only the way that he could do it. It's a letter between two demons writing back and forth about how to trip you up as a Christian. And in a very amazing way, he gives you the insights on how Satan's tactics are to get after you. Listen, the truth of the matter of all this is the fact that when Satan speaks or his demons speak to us, they don't speak to us like this, you know. Hey, Jack, oh, I'm going to pull you down and tear you up. No, I would say, behold, that must be Satan. He comes with the voice of my head. It's in my head. It sounds like me. Hey, you know what, Jack? You deserve a break. You ever heard this stuff? You know what? No one really cares for you like you care for you. Look, you are a legend in your own mind. So I want you to stay in touch with yourself. It's all about you. And you listen to this stuff and it's like, yeah. No one has said hi to me recently. I've sat in this church for an hour. No one said hi to me. Yeah. And God might be on the verge of blessing you in some way, shape, or form. But you start thinking about you. You're the most important person in your life. So it's all about you. And so as you think like that, Satan goes, yes, and how about this? And how about that? And he begins to lie to you. I have to lie, because you know who John Lovett is? He's a comedian. He lives in Chino Hills. If you ever want to meet him, go to Walmart. He likes Walmart. He's the guy on Saturday Night Live. Yeah, that's the ticket. That's it. He's known as the liar. That's it. Satan does that. Oh, I'm not feeling very happy today. I'm feeling kind of down. And Satan goes, yeah, down, down. Yeah, that's it. You're way down. Why are you down? Because God doesn't like you anymore. You're a loser, Jack. That's who you are. Yeah, you're such a big loser. God would never have you be His child. That's how Satan talks, and that's how his workers talk. That's the tone of his voice. He doesn't yell at you with red underwear and a pitchfork and fire coming out of his mouth. You would figure out who that is. He comes subtly. The Bible says Satan can come to us as an angel of light. The Bible says that his servants will often occupy the work of God to deceive people and pull them astray. They cloak themselves in righteousness. Watch out. How are we ever going to know? Keep your guard up. You know what? He comes and he says things like this very quickly. We're going to run through them fast. Satan says, doubt God. How so? Verse 3, and the devil said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, cause this stone to turn into bread. If you're the Son of God. By the way, the word if is not Satan's doubting it. The word if does not mean Satan's doubting that Jesus is the Son of God. Did you know that? In the Greek, it's the argument, since you are the Son of God, Satan is setting, at least he's attempting to set Jesus up. This is going to come on, I hope. If I do my job right, a light's going to come on over your head pretty soon. It's going to blow your heart, blow your mind. Hey, you're Jesus. Of course you're the Son of God. How many days have you gone without food? 40 days. Aren't you hungry? I'm starving. Come on. You're hungry? You're the Son of God? Snap your finger. You can have a feast. Do you hear what he's saying to him? Since you're the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. You say, well, how does that apply to my life? Hey, silly me. Since you are a Christian and God loves you, and you're panicking because you don't know if you're going to have enough money to pay your bills and, you know, get Nintendo and Xbox and all that stuff. You don't need to tithe or feed the homeless. God knows. Oh, my, I should have told you this sooner. You're a child of God. You don't need to trust God. Take it into your own hands. Take it into your hands and do it. You don't need to trust God. He loves you already. Remember, you are a child of God. You crazy people at Calvary, go do whatever you want to do. Are you hungry? Go eat. Huh? You want him? You want her? Go get him. God loves you. Why would you withhold yourself? You've been so good. Oh, what? You're hurting financially and there's some money over there laying on the counter that's not yours? Oh, you know what? Don't you have the power, the ability to take it? Go away. Who's going to know? And the moment you cross the line, Satan goes, hey, look what he did. Huh? He runs it up on a pole. He has an airplane fly overhead. Look at Jack. Huh? And that's true in your life. Don't look at me so holy. You guys are, all of you are the same. See the tricks he plays? And Jesus is showing us how to fight. So Satan comes and tempting him. Since you are the Son of God, he'll say the same thing to you and I. Come on, Christian. You can do anything you want. See, anything you want. Just don't be involved in the will of God. Satan is trying to get Jesus to not trust in his Father, who just earlier said, you are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Satan is challenging Jesus' faith to rest upon the promise of his Father to take care of all of his needs. That's why the Bible counters and says to you that God will supply to me all of my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. The temptation comes when you won't trust him to do that. If I don't make it, I got to roll up my sleeves and pull up the boots on my feet and go to do it myself, because what am I supposed to do? Sit around and wait for God to do it? That's the voice of Satan. 40 days, the Son of God could have snapped his finger. He could have created the meal right in front of him. He didn't do it. He trusted the Father to supply, and he didn't panic to the point of death. What is he teaching us? If the Word of God and if the Holy Spirit is that great, it's the same Bible, look at it, it's in your lap, it's the same Bible that you and I have, Jesus had, and the same Holy Spirit that dwells in you is the Holy Spirit that dwelt in him. The same truth is available for us today. Why do we flounder and fail? Because we yield to the temptation. We give up too quick. Perseverance, tenacity, stick-to-itness, steadfastness are words gone from our vocabulary. We give up. That's hard. Then let's quit, is the theme of the world. Secondly, Satan says, promote yourself. Command these stones to become bread. Promote yourself, he says to us. You can do it. Number three, Satan says, accuse God. Boy, this is a big one, huh? Accuse God. Genesis 3:11, listen to this. It's funny, but it's tragic. And the Lord God said to Adam and Eve, who told you you were naked? Do you remember what led up to that? Adam and Eve had bit of the fruit, right? Remember? And they realized they were naked. Now, what's funny, they were naked. I mean, they were naked. They didn't have clothes on. They didn't know they were naked until they ate of the fruit and sinned against God. Isn't it funny? Now, watch this. When God came into the garden in the cool of the day, Adam and Eve were hiding from God. Well, this is weird. And they said, we're hiding, we're naked. God says, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat of? That's a question mark in your Bible. Church, follow along with me, please. God is asking them, do you think God knows? Have you eaten of the tree? The one I told you don't eat of. He wants them to say, and by the way, our life right now would have been far different if they would have answered right. Yes, oh, we're sorry. Please forgive us. I think God would have forgiven them, and you and I would have been running around the garden naked today. It would have been a great day. I don't know about you, but running around a garden naked, I don't know. It's in the Bible. That's a very cool thing, I think. Not now, not now, not in this life, but back then in perfection, it must have been fantastic. It was perfect. God said, it is good. How cute is that? They're running around, you know, they're doing whatever they do. And they didn't know, oh, you're naked. Oh, no, you're naked. That didn't happen until after they sinned. They sinned, and Adam, she, remember, Eve bites the fruit first. Adam, you're naked, man. The Hebrew implies that they were physically without clothes, but they were clothed in a light. And when she bit, her light went out. By the way, have you ever seen a Christian so full of the love of God and all excited because they're walking right with God and then they backslide? You know what's funny? They think they're covering it up. And every Christian who's walking in the light can look at their brother, sister, Christian who's not in the light and say, are you okay? And then it really bothers you because you're saying, yeah, I'm fine. What do you keep asking for? It irritates you? They can see. Hey, honey, your light bulb's gone out. It's true. Hey, if you're not walking with God, do the right thing. Tell God about it and then run back and get all lit up again. So, listen to what happens. Have you eaten of the tree that I commanded you not to eat of? Genesis 3:12 is the most pathetic verse in the Bible. Then man said, it's the woman that you gave me. Look, like a man doesn't know how to say no. It's the woman that you gave me. She gave it to me from the tree and I ate it. Like she held a gun to his head. You know what he's saying? Genesis 3:12. Hey, don't look at me, God. You made a bad woman here. She's defective. You made her. She's yours. It's the woman you gave me. She gave of the fruit to me and I did eat. He doesn't see himself in this dilemma. He says, look, God, I mean, honestly, if we had a little hearing on this and I had the ACLU on my side, we would indict you, God. We would sue you. Because you know what? You gave me a bad woman. It's all your fault. It's not my fault. I'm not responsible for anything I do. It's your fault. That's what Adam is saying to God. Then God says to Eve, what is this that you have done? Have you eaten? And she says, it's that snake. It's that serpent. What is she saying? You made a bad snake. Because the Bible says that the serpent came and spoke to them and told, or spoke to Eve and talked to her and deceived her. So Adam blames Eve. Eve blames the serpent. And if you keep reading, it says in Genesis 3:14, so the Lord God said to the serpent, because you've done this thing, cursed are you among all cattle and more than every beast that creeps upon the ground or that is on the field. Therefore, you shall go all the rest of your days on your belly. And the snake didn't have a leg to stand on because apparently it could stand before. It's weird because the curse is from now on, you're on your belly. Isn't that freaky weird? And by the way, Eve is sitting there talking to a snake. Don't you think that's strange? Unless in perfection in the garden, you could have talked to animals. That'd have been fun. But you know, Eve is there, you know, whatever she's doing, picking flowers. I don't know what she's doing. And the snake comes along. Eve, yeah, what's up? Nice day, huh? Yes, nice day. Hey, you see that tree over there? Can you imagine? She didn't say, a snake talking. Look, moral of the story in the Bible throughout, from Genesis to Revelation, don't talk to snakes. Satan appears, deceives, ruins the whole human race. But what's the thing? He wants to tempt you to accuse God. What's wrong with my life? God did it. It's God's fault. It's not his fault. He tempts nobody with evil. We're quite capable of getting in trouble all on our own. And then finally, don't need to belabor it, Satan says to us, justify ourselves. Just justify yourself. It's one of the three original thoughts I've ever had in my life. I should copyright it. It's from the throne of God, I believe. Years ago, when I was going through something, God spoke to my heart and said, Jack, never underestimate man's ability to justify himself. Because you know what? Men will murder another man to justify himself. Man will do cruel and unusual things to others to justify himself. And Satan says, defend yourself. Third and final point, we'll end here. Temptation, what are we to do? Temptation is Satan's master plan. Oh, it's master plan of Satan's, all right. Jesus, it says, answers Satan, verse 4, and says, and I love it, it is written. It's written. Church, everyone, listen up. Jesus is saying, it's in the Bible. The Bible you have in your lap. The Son of God quoted the Bible. What you have on your lap. How important is this book? The Son of God leaned upon the book. He said, it's written. That's in your Bible on your lap. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That's Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Chapter 8, verse 3. Wow. How's Jesus fighting Satan off with temptation? How am I to fight temptation off? The Word of God. When Satan comes tempting, don't pray about it. Use the Word of God. Now listen to me. Use the Word of God. When Satan comes tempting, don't sing a worship song. Use the Word of God. That's the pattern laid out. Use the Word of God. There will be a time to pray later. There will be a time to worship later. Use the Word of God now. Here's the point that we need to listen to. Many Christians are unable to use the Word of God, number one, because they don't spend time in it. Number two, they don't know how to use it because they have not meditated upon it. Digestion to my physical soul, to my physical being, my body, is as important as meditation is to my spirit. I will never get the Word of God into my life so I can combat temptation. If I don't spend time on the Word, I'm going to be tempted and be swept away easily, and Satan will walk up to you. You may be a Christian, but you're sterile. You're not making a difference. Nobody in the church depends on you because you're not out there serving anybody. He's got you. Yes, you're going to heaven, but he's got you tucked away in the corner, convinced that you're a bad, bad, bad Christian that God can never use. And so you sit in your pity party and you waste a week, a month, a year, 10 years, a lifetime, saying to yourself, I'm going to serve God someday, and you never make it, and you wind up taking your talent that God had given you, and you buried it in the ground. I would to God love to see just a handful of us begin to live a life based upon Scripture whereby we begin to put dents in the kingdom of hell. Wouldn't it be awesome if we began to pray in such a way that Satan's lair would be stirred, that demons would shudder, they would be terrified. What's happening in the spirit realm? It's like a nuclear bomb's gone off in the spirit. What's going on? It's those people at Calvary praying. They're using the Word of God. Why do we spend so much time in the Bible? This is the reason why. That you might be victorious. You shortchange the Bible, you're shortchanging your life. We should spend hours doing this today. In fact, why? No, I'm kidding. Temptation is Satan's master plan. Number one, very quickly, so be ready if that's his master plan. We know it is when Satan comes walking up. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, Satan will come walking. So be vigilant, be sober, because your adversary, the devil, walks about. He's always walking. So be ready when he comes up. He's going to come. Also, be on the offensive. While Satan is waiting to attack you, be on the offensive. That's using the Word of God. Jesus tells us to watch and to pray lest we enter into temptation. He told them when they were praying in the garden, what did they do? They fell asleep. We need to be alert, on the offensive, using the Word of God. And here's the thing. Know the Bible so you can fight with it. Example, if you're being tempted, watch this, real true type of temptation. If you're being tempted with aggression or vengeance or revenge or temper, if you say, yeah, Jack said to quote to know the Bible. Yeah, okay. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's not going to work. Did you know that? You're still going to get hit. What do you mean? I'm using the Bible. You're not using the Bible rightly. Okay, I'll try again. Oh, I'm getting really tempted in this area. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You're going to get hit. Paul says in Ephesians, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and fight in the spiritual realm of darkness, in the spiritual realm of adversity. The word is Makaira in Greek. Did you see Gladiator with Russell Crowe? Yeah. Did you see that gigantic Roman broadsword? It's huge. It's like 3.5 feet long. Those are real, you know? And the Roman soldier used them for mass crowd control. get them going, and they're massive, heavy. But when you got close to combat, you jettisoned that sword, and you grabbed your Machaira. That's the sword that you see on a Roman centurion's hip. You pull it out. Why? Because the blade's only 18 inches long. You never even look at it. And you use it. And you'll see them throw it up in the air, and they'll grab it and slash this way and then stab this way. Why? You don't have to look at it. It's for hand-to-hand combat with your enemy in a life-and-death struggle. And when you use the Machaira sword, you just keep plunging it into them, and soon they will die. Isn't it? You say, that's awful violent. You should see how violent this spiritual war is taking place between you and I right now. And there's a host of people praying that this connects while you and I are here together, because it's a spiritual war. And when you're being tempted, you need to go to Corinthians and have it memorized. And it says, Lord, I'm being tempted right now to look away or to look at that or to do this. And your Bible tells me to bring every thought under the captivity of Christ. And the Bible says that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And the Bible says that sin shall no longer have dominion over me. And the Bible says that I'm a new creation in Christ. So, Lord, I'm asking you now to grant me victory in Jesus' name, and you will have victory. God is bound by his word to answer you. The reason why you and I lose is because we don't know how to fight. It's not his fault. It's our fault. Know the word. There's no substitute. And then finally, we end with this. Satan's master plan of temptation requires us to listen. Requires us to listen for when Satan comes roaring. Because he threatens Jesus, he'll threaten us. And we need to be ready for when he roars. Because when Satan roars, it sounds somewhat like this. It's always, always either exalting me to get into trouble or condemning me so that I don't draw close to God. When he roars, he doesn't scream. He just subtly leads you away from the things that you ought to be doing. He just subtly just tricks us. The truth of the matter is, in these next few weeks together, we are going to have some good fun studying the Word of God, because with it will come victory. And we need not be tossed to and fro, not only with every wind of doctrine, but also by the wiles of the devil. We need not be sinning when these temptations come. As we grow in Christ and take his word seriously, listen, we'll never become sinless. But remember, we'll become one who sins less as God has more and more control of our lives.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a mini-series called Temptation, What Are We to Do? It's a study taken from the first part of Luke chapter 4. Now again, this is a mini-series, part of our journey through the New Testament narrative of Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this series within a series on temptation is available in a convenient 4-CD set. In a moment, we'll tell you how to get in touch with us here at Real Radio and request it. Here's our offer. For your tax-deductible contribution of any size to the outreach of Real Radio, we'll send it right out to you. Just ask for the Temptation CD series. Here's our phone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. You can also visit us at realradioactive.org, and all of our contact information can be found there as well. Realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.